Hey, it's Brian Hayes. So last year, my neighbor forgot to get their eaves cleaned. And let's just say the leak in their basement will make sure that doesn't happen again. Not going to happen to me, though. It's fall, and that means it's Jiffy time. Booking my eaves cleaning and yard cleanup took all of 30 seconds. It couldn't be easier. Thanks to Jiffy, I say bring it on fall. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code SPORTS for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, fast and reliable home maintenance.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. Our buddy Bob McKenzie, the Hockey Outsider, will join us. He's back up in Toronto. He's on the panel tomorrow.
Nice.
It's Kara, yourself, I think Cheryl Pounder's on it with you guys, and I think Bobby Mack. So there you go. What a wild afternoon that's going to be. That'll be fun. On the panel tomorrow, and Bob will join us here. We'll get his take on a number of things, including, you know, the stuff being thrown on the ice in Jersey last night. And Bob's been in a million rinks. We'll ask him if he can recall any game he covered or if he was there as a fan that got a little bit crazy. And got to ask him about the claim by some guy tweeting in that in 93 when McSorley hit Gilmore and then Clark and McSorley fought, that someone – threw their crutches on the ice. I feel like 30 years later we would know that. Although, do we have video? Joe from the Bridge is playing something.
There is video.
Oh, there is a crutch on the ice.
Yeah, there is. I didn't see it. There's a crutch in
there's
the middle
a crutch
of the ice.
On the
right
ice.
In the slot. There's a guy's crutch. Play it one more time, Joe from the Bridge. You
wow.
Look deep and high in the slot. There's a guy's crutch. There's Dougie.
Yeah.
Now look, just up in the slot, there's a crutch right there.
That is a crutch right by the stick.
Yeah.
Wow,
yes,
what a pull. How have we not known that? It's 30 years. That's one of the most famous plays in Leaf history. They were up 4-1. I think it was game one. Gilmore
if
across
you
the
know
ball.
The guy that threw the crutches, we want to get him on tomorrow. We
right.
want to talk to the guy that threw the crutches on.
He probably wow. threw him at McSorley. I'm guessing.
Yeah, he was pissed, and he probably had a broken leg himself.
I've
a beer league. He got in a beer league accident, broke his leg, and then went to the Leafs Kings and threw his crutch on the ice.
No way. I think that guy who threw it back then was 70 years old, and he was on crutches, and he had just had enough. Mm-hmm. He was pissed off because he wanted to see the Leafs go deep. Like, that guy might not be around anymore. Who
that
knows?
Was a bad like hit. What, was there ever, like, a conversation about a suspension for McSorley? I don't think so. I don't recall. I mean, I doubt it back in that day. But like,
this is the rest of the playoffs today.
Oh, it's an elbow to the head. The game's over. Like, Gilmore's coming through the middle. I'm pretty sure they're up 4-1. It's like 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, that's the rest of the playoffs.
I think today it would be.
Sure.
Yeah, I think
for
Joe
sure.
from the Bridge, if you can find the video of Dougie coming through the middle, and I'm not sure why they were on the ice. You know, that here it is. Watch this elbow.
Yeah, that's the rest of the playoffs.
That could be the rest of the playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
And if Dougie stayed down for a real long time, it's 20 games into next season, too.
It could be.
Okay, so let's say that was, you know, McSorley was a solid player, but he wasn't, you know, a superstar, and that Doug Gilmore was a superstar. So pick your poison. That's Eric Chernak on Austin Matthews in the playoffs last year.
That's exactly what it is. Chernak on Matthews and with a forearm chivy to the head when the game's over.
Yeah.
And then Wendell dropped the gloves. It was a great fight, too. And then a crutch got thrown on the ice. Text Gilmore and ask him if he remembers seeing a crutch on the ice.
No. You text him.
No, I'm not texting Dougie.
Yeah, you guys
dude,
are buddies.
You got his number. You're boys with Dougie.
I could text him. Yeah, I guess I could. You want me
go
to try
ahead.
To get that answer?
See if, but there's a high percentage he doesn't text you back. See
that's
if you
can my get concern. A, I don't
see
want
See if
him
you
to
get
say,
something back from Dougie.
All right, I'll float something out to Gilmore
tough.
And see if I can get an answer.
What are you going
to
ask? Do you remember the crutch flying out
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
No, you got to say, we're talking about it on the show or else it's going to come out of left field saying
right.
we're talking about the hit. Against L.A., do you remember after the melee a crutch sitting on the ice or laying on the ice? Something like that.
Okay.
Because to me, that's,
I gotta keep
you
got to
give him some context.
Yeah. I mean, after the McSorley hit, I don't know how to phrase that. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I'll send something to him. We'll see what if he responds. Because I got to think if you're on the ice, you recall there's a crutch. as a crutch on the ice. Like that's, I mean, it's one thing a full beer can. Some guy throwing look a crutch.
Look at the arrow circling the crutch. Yeah,
it's like John Madden. It's, honestly, this is like a Thanksgiving. Like he's just up there with. This is what we need Joe from the Bridge doing. Is like circling our faces when we're doing things stupid. You know, like he might have full carte blanche to kind of do whatever he wants. All right, Bob McKenzie here in a moment. We had Matthew Shinetti on earlier this afternoon about John Herdman's comments. And Herdman obviously saying, you know, privately he told the boys that the plan is to go and, you know, beat up Croatia. You know, go get Croatia. And not necessarily in those words. And then he was asked about it by Matthew Shinetti, and he was honest. He said, this is what we said. You know, we're here, we belong, we played well, and we got to go and F Croatia. And that led to, I guess, a story – obviously at Croatia where they're like, what's going on here? And at the I think at the crux of all this is that Croatia's a world power, like talking about soccer, and they've got great players and they were in the final 4 years ago, and Canada's got no history. And we got no chops. You know, like honestly, we got no chops internationally. We haven't scored a goal at the World Cup.
What would you rather the coach do? Be like, oh, you know, we're really under the gun now, or would you rather kind of have him say a little bit of hype and have a little bit of jam and a little bit of something?
Here's what I want John Herdman to do. Speak to us, Canadians. Who cares about Croatia? And that's exactly what he did, and that's what I love about it. He was asked by Shinetti, who is representing TSN and is speaking to the country, and he's speaking to us. We're sitting at home wondering, what's up, Herdman? What's the plan? And he gave us the goods. Who cares if Croatia doesn't like it? Because you're not speaking on behalf of Croatia. You're not catering to Croatia.
Because ultimately, Hayes, you've been around sports for long enough. It doesn't mean anything. Once the game starts, it's like, it's all just build up and it's fodder and it's stuff we talk about. And it's like, who cares? It's not that big a deal. As long as you don't offend anybody or say something really stupid, it's all part of what you want and it's content. Croatia. Right. Who cares?
Well, we have the audio and the video of what we believe the Croatian media wanted to hear from John Herdman, right? Yes. We played the audio earlier. You guys have requested the video to
of
go along with the audio up on TSN2. Yeah, so this is the equivalent. Canada in now, Croatia is not the Canada of soccer. It's not. Like Canada to hockey is what like Brazil would be to soccer. It's not they're not even relatively close. But Croatia is a European, you know, great country filled with great history and great players. And Canada obviously is closer to Switzerland when it comes to hockey. And this is what happened at the World Juniors years ago. And I think this is what the Croatian media is hoping John Herdman might actually answer these questions with.
What did you learn about them in the pre-tournament game you played?
Learn that we are far away from them still. They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
So is this what you'll tell your team? Like, what do you say to your team?
Exactly that.
Exactly that.
Verbatim. Literally, these are direct quotes. You
at
suck.
The starting of the conversation.
Great.
At the start of the conversation, he actually goes, poof. Like he makes a noise.
Flabbergasted.
Because he's just, he's absolutely, I mean, he's just being honest, but he's just shooting from the hip. But that noise at the beginning is the best.
That means like we really have no chance. That's me.
You've got no shot. Like absolutely
zero.
No chance. But thank you for asking. See, now we're getting people writing in. This is like claiming they were in the gardens in 93.
They remember the crutch?
Yeah.
No crutch guy?
Well, Rod is tweeting and saying, I was actually at the game where the guy threw the crutch over the boards. We watched him hop down one of the aisles with his crutches.
I want to know who it is. How old was he?
It doesn't give me details. Rod, tweet us more details on like what was up with this guy that threw his crutch on the ice in 93.
Yeah, so, like was he an old codger back then, or what? Like, what was his deal?
He wasn't fully committed to it because he obviously kept the other one. So, like, if he really hated McSorley, he would have thrown both crutches on the ice.
Still, like, I like the detail. It's like we watched him hobble down the aisle, get to the glass, and throw a crutch over.
Right.
Like back then, ushers are like, nah, that's all right. Nothing to see here.
Go ahead. I mean, honestly, if you were an usher, to be fair to them, would you think the guy who is, he's got a broken leg, is getting to the glass to throw his crutch on the ice? You know, why would you ever think that that guy is possibly going to be a menace and throw his crutch on the ice?
Do you guys remember, I think I've told you guys this before, do you remember in Calgary where the naked guy with the red socks jumped over the glass and knocked himself out?
Yes.
Like I was...
You were on the bench, were you not?
Yeah, I was right across from him because he was in the... He climbed the penalty box glass and then fell off that on his head and was completely naked with the red socks. Like these are crazy situations. People have to remember that. Like a guy hobbling down and throwing a crutch onto the ice.
Yes, we need more details. We need more details. All right. Well, we got a guy on the line who was in the building, right? Mm-hmm. He was there.
Piano guy.
Yes, he was. He's inspiration. We know that. He's the hockey outsider, our main man. He's back on the panel tomorrow for Leafs Wild. Here's Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing well. We were obviously discussing the kind of crazy scene down in Jersey last night with people throwing stuff on the ice. And it led to someone sending us a tweet. And the three of us did not remember this. Someone said that back in 93, after McSorley hit Gilmore and then Clark and McSorley fought, I think it was game one, someone threw a crutch on the ice. You were there. Do you remember seeing someone throw a crutch on the ice?
You know what the funny thing is? So, let's see. Was that, you're saying that was game one?
I believe it was game one. I may
Whenever
be wrong
McSorley
on that.
Hit Gilmore, there
yeah,
was
across the
fight
middle,
after.
And then Clark fought McSorley. It was late in the game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The funny thing is, I was starting a lot more work at the. At the time, I was working for the Toronto Star. But part of my deal at the Star, when I went there, included that I said, you have to understand, I do have responsibilities at TSN, so you've got to make room in the schedule for them. So, covering the Memorial Cup for TSN was one of my things. And the Memorial Cup was on, if I remember correctly, that year it would have been in Sault Ste. Marie. And but I don't remember exactly which Memorial Cup it was. But in any case, I didn't pick up that Kings Leaf series until game number four.
Ooh, okay.
Game number five, which, ironically enough, was Piano in the Back Night.
You had to show up for that one, didn't you, Bob?
So I came in hot.
I would say so. What an inspiration.
Did Gretz ever talk to you, Bobby, about that comment? Did he ever say, like, oh, I remember that comment? Did you ever exchange, like, a little chat with Gretz about
Put it this way. When he went to – I didn't get to the Stanley Cup Final media day, because they had it like a day or two before the Cup Final actually began. And when Gretz did his media availability in Montreal a day or two before the Cup Final began, he basically went to town on me in the column to the entire media and everybody else that was there. And then it was very frosty final for me, anyway, and I didn't personally come across Wayne, other than being in the dressing room and whatever, but I could tell he was mad, and that was fine, so I gave him his space, but I was there and doing my job, whatever. And then the next season, he was going to pass Gordy, and so the Stars set me on the trail to follow Wayne until he passed Gordy, and so I was in Los Angeles, and it was actually the first night that they sent me, and I was there along with most of the other media in the National Hockey League, and that was the night he passed them. And afterwards, I was kind of curious to what reception I might get, and I always remember there was a media room, and it was just like packed with media people, and after the game, Wayne came in, and he had his skates off, he had his shoulder pads and sweater off, but he still had on his pants and his shin pads, and he was wearing a pair of flip-flops. And he walked in, and he saw me, and he looked at me, and I'm like, oh, boy. And he came over and shook my hand and gave me a little bit of a hug and said, hey, really appreciate you being here with this. And I said, oh, I wouldn't have missed it, and I'm really honored to be here. So, and that was that. So because that's when I knew it was over.
There you go. Well, yeah, I mean, wow. He's passing Gordie Howe. You would think it's time to move on at that point. And he did show up in Game 7, which is probably an important, you know, part of the context back in 93. Any other crazy events you can think of, Bob, being in the rink for, you know, like stuff being thrown on the ice, fights in the stands, you know, like
probably the biggest thing covering the Leafs back in the day when things weren't going well would the obligatory throwing the jersey on the ice. And then there was the waffles and there was this and that and everything else. But every so often somebody would throw the jersey on the ice or guys would show up wearing the paper bags over their head. And that sort of thing. But that was a remarkable one last night. I mean, 3 goals, all disallowed. And I thought 2 of the 3 of them were legit. I thought the first one was a little iffy. But in any case, that was a fun night of hockey, and it was an exciting game, and the Leafs did very, very well. So.
Yeah, they did. They're in a weird place right now, aren't they, Bob, with all these injuries? You know, like Jordy Ben goes down last night, Riley's out, Brody's out, yet they keep winning. And, I mean, I guess Sheldon Keefe, how much credit do you think he deserves, considering how, you know, crazy the season's been in the last few years and the noise around the team and the lame duck stuff? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I was watching the game last night, and I made this observation, and I texted a friend of mine, and I said, the Sheldon Keefe guy is coaching his ass off. Mm-hmm. And in fairness to the players, because I don't want to give the coach all the credit, the players are playing their ass off. And I mean, when you look at this objectively, forget about the big picture. So the big picture is Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since 67. They can't win a first-round series to save their life. You know, we can get the whole big snowball and roll it down the hill if we want. And that. But just in the context of Toronto Maple Leafs, 2000 and this season, the 22-23 season. The way it started, the hole that they were in, the absolute apoplexy that was consuming everybody because of losses to Montreal and Arizona and every other crappy team in the league that they couldn't beat. You know, people said that was it. Never mind not being able to win a first round. They're not going to make the playoffs. This whole thing is broken. Fire Dubas, fire Keith. Get rid of everybody. Matthews stinks, Marner stinks, you know, and what have you. And then all of a sudden, it's like, boom, they've done a really good job. We anticipated the goaltending would be really problematic, and so far, it really hasn't been. In fact, it's been, you know, at worst average, and at times, like it was last night, above average. When you look at the list of defensemen that are injured, and keep in mind, most people look at the Leafs defense and say, oh, they're not built to win a cup, or they're not built to win this or that. And even with Riley, even with Muzzin, even with Brody, even with everybody, it's not good enough. Well, they went up against the hottest team in the National Hockey League that looks like it's the real deal in terms of the speed they play with, how exciting they are, how offensive they are. And yeah, they had to hang on for dear life, but you know what? They did it. And all the defensive metrics, especially since, you know, that bad stretch that they had to start the season, all their defensive metrics in the National Hockey League are top third of the league, top quarter of the league. So whatever you want to say about what's going to happen in the playoffs, whatever baggage you want to bring to the thing, in the moment, Toronto Maple Leaf fans should be absolutely ecstatic with where things are at right this moment. But they can't enjoy it because they're Leaf fans and they know that there's something better on the corner.
Bobby, what do you think of the state of the league, like just as far as player movement? I mean, you got a team in Toronto who made a minor deal, I guess you could call it, with Connor Timmins coming in. The Ottawa Senators are dying for a defenseman. They can't win a game. And they can't pull the trigger on a deal. Like, it's just amazing the lack of movement. I mean, can you chime in as far as that's the salary cap and that's the way it is? Like, we were talking about like the Kings and the Leafs. Like, back in that day, a trade would like mix it up for everybody involved, fan base, media. It's just like if you stink, you got to sit and rot.
It sure seems that way. But not being on the scene every day, I really don't know. I truly am the outsider. So I don't know whether it's salary cap related or whether it's a weird league. What I've noticed anecdotally myself, following a little bit from afar, is that the teams that we thought, teams that were traditionally very good, your Pittsburghs, your Washingtons, and let's be honest, at the beginning of the season, a lot of people thought Boston was going to be in that same category, getting older, longer in the tooth. You know, the Boston thing is a surprise to a lot of people, I think, the start that they've had. But we're so used to, you know, New Jersey. Everybody anticipated, well, New Jersey, they're no good. They're going to get better. Sure they are. Ottawa's going to get better. They haven't been, but, some of these teams that we expect, you know, Buffalo, and they had a bit of a losing streak there, but they're a fun team to watch. They're getting better and better all the time. A lot of the teams that have been absolute, you know, horse bleep for a long time are really on their way up. And a lot of the teams that we traditionally looked at as really good, and even some of the teams, like, where's Edmonton's game at right now? You know, where's Calgary's game at right now? These are teams that at the beginning, everybody was, when they started Stanley Cup favorites, there were a lot of people said Calgary Flames. Well, they could still be that, but I'm just saying a lot of the teams we expected to be really good haven't been as good as we thought they would be. And a lot of the teams we thought were going to be really bad, like Montreal was going to be just god-awful. And you know what? They're a 500 hockey team. The Chicago Blackhawks were just going to be god-awful, and they've kind of progressed back to where we thought they'd be to some degree. But they won a lot of games early on, and Taves and Kane are playing lights out. So the league is, I don't want to call it the parity, because there are teams that are getting better real fast, and there's some teams that are getting bad real fast. But nobody's as bad as we thought they were going to be, and maybe nobody's as good as we thought they were going to be. So everybody's kind of in this soft middle ground of I don't want to say mediocrity, because some of these teams are going to rise above the pack.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN hockey outsider, he's again on the panel tomorrow. Lise Wilde, Carol Waglin, Cheryl Pounder. Oh, you're a part of that. Bob McKenzie, it'll be a great game tomorrow afternoon. Really difficult news today, obviously, with the passing of Boreas Salming, Bob, and there's a guy you would have, I don't know if maybe you were a fan of his first and then you covered him as a Toronto kid, but a legend of legends in this town, and was just here a couple of weeks ago, just an amazing scene. What do you recall of your time covering and being around Boreas Salming?
Yeah, before I even got into journalism, huge fan. So I was a kid, I grew up, I was born in 56. Grew up watching the Leafs and being a fan when I was a kid in the 60s. It was a good time to be a Leaf fan, as everybody knows, multiple Stanley Cups and Punch and Lack and Dave Keon. Tim Horton was my favorite player, Big M. I love the Big M, and lived and died with the Toronto Maple Leafs in the 60s. In the 70s, I was in high school, and then I went off to journalism school later in the 70s. But during that time, I still considered myself a Leaf fan. And so Boreas Salming, you know, burst onto the scene, whatever it was, 73, 74. And you couldn't help but just be captivated by everything that he did. For me, both as a fan in the 70s and then as a journalist in the 80s who also covered him, and obviously everything that I've done since then, most courageous hockey player I've ever seen. And the reason I say that is because I don't know that anyone, any of you guys, or anyone can fully understand the way the game was played in the 1970s. It was scary violent. It really was. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Broad Street Bullies, the things that went on in a hockey rink in the 1970s, if they happen now, Twitter and every social media platform and every media outlet in the world would burn to the ground, because it was total mayhem, and it was a dangerous place where guys were taking their physical health and their life every night, playing against the Philadelphia Flyers or teams like them, and there was a lot of copycats that happened there. So here comes Boreas Salming and Ian Hammerstrom, comes into the National Hockey League in arguably its most violent era, and everybody says chicken tweeds and whatever. And the things that players did to Boreas Olmstead, well, they literally assaulted him. And, the playoffs that year in Philadelphia, I think it was, 76? Or was it 74, rather? And 74, 75, right around there. But anyway, I think it was Boreas' first year. And Mel Bridgman just beat him to a bloody pulp. And everybody went after him. And he just never backed down. He couldn't fight to save his life. And nothing deterred him. And so on that level, it was amazing. Now, in the history of hockey, he becomes an absolutely seminal figure because he is that pioneer. He is the guy who, very early on, and it took decades for everybody else to wise up to it, but if you were paying attention to Boreas Olmstead, what you realized is there was no such thing as a chicken sweep. There was no such thing that Europeans are not wired to compete and have the fortitude, the intestinal fortitude of Canadians. He put it all to rest, and he put it all to rest almost immediately. And then on top of that, he was a Hall of Famer in the way that he played. He was an unbelievable physical specimen, an elite defenseman, one of the very best in the game. And he was also just an absolutely tremendous guy and tremendous teammate. And the 70s were an interesting time to be a Leaf fan because the team wasn't great. They never really were greater than the sum of their parts, but they had Sittler, they had Lanny, they had Tiger Williams, Eddie and Turnbull, they had Boria. They were fun to watch, and there was a lot of personality and a lot of swagger on that team, but they never really did the kind of damage that you thought that group might do, and then Harold Ballard kind of started to blow the whole thing up, and it self-destructed, but even Harold couldn't tire of Boria. He tired of just about everybody else and sent them all on their way, but he had a special... trusty old bugger that he was, he had a special place for Boria. And there should be a special place for Boria in all of hockey history because he really was the face of the globalization of hockey in the 1970s. That's when the game, 1972 forward changed the way hockey was viewed on a world basis. And Boreas Olmstead was... an unbelievable pioneer. He was this Viking warrior who redefined what toughness in hockey was. Toughness in hockey wasn't hitting somebody or fighting somebody or taking advantage of somebody. Toughness in hockey was defined as you can give me as much physical, mental, and emotional abuse as you want, and it's not going to change my game one little bit, and I'm still going to play at a Hall of Fame level no matter what you do to me, no matter how many times he got bloodied like Mel Bridgman bloodied him. And keep in mind when I talk about the 70s, and that was the game that four Philadelphia Flyers were charged and taken off to court. Willie McMurtry, the Attorney General of Ontario, and Selesky and Kelly and Joe Watson and Mel Bridgman, they all got charged with assault. Now, one of them was assaulting a police officer, but that's another story for another day.
Wow. Yeah, that is another story for another day, for sure.
Slapshot.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, like, look at the pictures of Mel Bridgman. It's exactly what you think.
Mustache.
It looks like. Yeah. Well, Bob, we'll catch you on the panel tomorrow. There'll be obviously a lot more, and I believe the pregame on the legacy of Boreas Olmstead and Leafs Wild tomorrow. It'll be a fun one. So it's always great having you on. Welcome back up to Toronto, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for letting me talk about Boria because he was an all-timer and just a special Toronto Maple Leaf and a special NHL player.
Yep, absolutely. There he is, our good friend Bob McKenzie. And that's exactly who you want to hear from about. Bob represents, from Toronto, grew up a Leaf fan, covered the Leafs. Everyone, I'm sure, your dad's got stories about Solming. My dad's got stories about Solming and when he came over and the way he played and how great he was. And I mean, he was unbelievable as a player.
Dude, I'm sure that your dad and my dad, we could sit down with them, and there's honestly a month worth of stories from the 70s until now. Mm-hmm. Like a month a month pod of what they saw and what it was like following and just all of it, like the Ballard, Boria, all of it. Like, it's just, it's
crazy.
It was their life, as sports fans.
That's it, man. I mean, the Gardens, what that represented, and that's the beauty of the Leafs. I mean, it's like any other Original Six team or longstanding sports organization. When you're around forever, you get generations that, you know.
Craziness.
Exactly. You've seen so many different things. You know, if you're 80 years old, think about how much you've seen. If you're if you're 15, you know, you haven't seen much, but you've seen enough. Like, honestly, if you're 15 and you've been tracking the last 6-7 years, you've seen some wild stuff. Yeah, you know, you can put your hand up and say, I'm a Leaf fan. Like, I've been through the ringer here, you know. So, anyway, great to catch up with Bob. All right, so the IQ results are in. The IQ test, we found some website. Listen, it's like playing on bad ice. We can complain about the test, but we're all skating on the same ice.
If I'm like 60 points below you guys and I did bad, like, just
yeah, we won't say a word. We'll just cut to black and we'll break. All right? That's what we'll do. All right, so we'll come back with that. We got our best bets still to come. We're tracking the Giants-Cowboys game as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the IQ test, this is something that we came up with years ago, right? Years ago, it spontaneously came up, this idea that, I don't know, maybe we should test our IQs, maybe we should know exactly the details. And we want to point this out, that this is not professional, right? A professional IQ test, I think you need someone of stature in the room. You know, there's got to be a lot more details in terms of your age, in terms of, I don't know, maybe background and stuff. But the way the IQ results work is, like, it's an average of 100, I guess. Like, that's kind of the average, is 100. If you're above that, I guess you're on the right side of it. If you're below it, it doesn't mean anything. It's all good. There's just maybe some room for improvement. And that's why you go back to the well, and you study, and you do the IQ test again. All right, so the grappler found a site and sent the same site to the three of us. We all did it once, finished it. Snapped the pick, sent it back to the grappler. I know my score. I don't know your scores. You guys know your own individual scores. You don't know the other guy's scores.
No.
All right? We figured asking the grappler because, you know, maybe we pull names out of the hat. Maybe we go based on a similar routine that we usually do. Maybe, oh, you'd want to go first.
Go ahead. Give me it. Give me the damage.
Okay, up on TSN 2.
Let me know my score. Where does it rank? What am I?
Post it. Joe from the Bridge, I believe you have access to this. Let's find out what the score was for the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. I'm suspenseful. I have no idea.
Yeah.
There it is. 112. 112. Am I seeing that correctly? Yes,
yeah,
112
on the
screen.
That's what I got. I got an IQ of 112.
That's pretty good.
I don't know what that means.
That means you're above average. Average is 100. Like, you stop 100 people in the street, the 50th person, terms of IQ average, that person's at 100. You're above average. You're special. That's great. Look at you. I love it.
I know, but what I know what's going to come next. You got 150 and Noodles got 178, and I'm a dummy.
Noodles has been really quiet. I have a feeling Noodles has got like some Rain Man vibes going on right now. Something's up with him. All right, so O's at 112. Noodles, you have a take on that? I think that's pretty. I like it. That's a good number.
I don't know. I mean, I think these were, it's a suspicious test, put it that way. But it was, we all three of us did it the same way. So I don't know. You can't tell.
Guys, I want to get to it. I'm above average.
Well, okay.
I want to see Noodles' result. I want to see where I stand amongst my peers.
Okay. All good. All right, you're at 112.
And I can tell by your stupid face that you got 170 or something.
170? Dude, what do you think? I'm a Mensa member? 170 is like Einstein.
Hey, Noodles,
was like
put up a score. I got 112.
All right, we'll put mine up. Okay. Joe from the Bridge, go ahead. Get it over with. 133.
Oh,
all right, a 133, which I was quite happy with. I was quite happy with a 133.
Dude, this is a joke, man. How'd you get 133? Those were the hardest questions I've ever seen in my life.
They were some
14.
Very confusing questions, I'll admit. You know what I think killed me is I took too much time. And, like, time is a big part of it. Like, if you get the answer quick, you got to get it in quick.
Dude, 133, I honestly said to myself halfway through it, I'm like, my brain is hurting. Like, I haven't done a test in I don't know how long.
I'm with you.
And man. It was just like, seizing. I was just like, I don't want to think. Like, I'm an adult. I don't need this test nonsense.
How about the question where it's like, if Barney is four times the age of George, and George, it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Come on. Barney wants to bring 30 buckets of water down the street, and he's got to fill up a pool that has 85 buckets. How long is it going to? And I was just like, I don't care. And that doesn't mean anything to do with my life. Let's see 112. What Noodle's got.
Listen, you're 112. All right, so Noodle's.
Yes, and you got 133. Congrats.
I'm at 133. I think I can do better than that, but I'm happy with that. Noodles, this is the big reveal. Awfully quiet. This is going to go one of two ways. He's either 151 or he's like 78, and we'll never see him again. All right?
Exactly. I'm turning it off if it's 78.
Let's see. Let's hear. Put it up on the screen. A 150?
Holy crap!
You're kidding me, Noodles.
This
you are Rate
Einstein.
Man.
Einstein.
That can't be serious. You're a 150. Who did you pay to take the test?
I just was sitting in the airport lounge. I didn't even know we were doing it. The rapper texted me. I was doing it. I actually did it twice, and the other one was 159.
Oh, my God. That's outrageous. You're a genius. You're a genius.
They were math questions, and they were pretty easy, I thought.
No,
they
weren't.
I went through them pretty quick.
I think I'm really stupid now because I'm not kidding. I guessed on three quarters of mine. I didn't know the answer. So my actual answer is probably 83.
That's my concern. You must have got lucky on a couple of guesses.
Dude, I'm telling you, the bad thing is, if I do it again and actually try, I'll get 80.
Yeah.
Because I fluked out 15 answers.
I don't know. Noodle's got a 150. I mean, maybe this is a website that just... Grappler said he got a 138. You and I are both chasing the Grappler. Like, come on. There's no way.
Pardon, can you repeat what you just said?
Grappler took it, got a 138. Now, Grappler's a smart man. I don't dispute that. I think he's a smart guy, but he's hiding it because if you talk to him, you're like, this guy doesn't know up from down.
He sure hides it well.
But he's 138. He's a genius.
I just think I've taken these IQ tests before. I always thought, and I have, like, I did one legit where you paid and stuff like that, and I was like a 139, 141.
Wow.
I've had.
What
but
a score.
I mean, this was a free one online, so it's. I would think I would be in the 130s. Like
no, we're all on the same ice. It's choppy ice, but we're all playing on the same ice, Noodles. You don't have to. Right. Don't talk yourself down. I mean, don't deflate your own tires. This is what this says to me. I'm proud of this show. There's a lot of other talking heads who think they're so smart. This show is brilliant. That's what this says. Right? We have an average IQ of about 133. That's brilliant. So anyone that talks down to us and thinks we're idiots and, you know, we don't take life seriously enough or whatever, just remember, the stats are in. We'll put our IQ up against any other show in the business. Any other show.
We just know we could beat Jonas and Mark Masters. That's all we know.
You're right.
That's true.
I'm buying in. I'm like a fourth-line plumber that's with Sundin and Matthews.
Pucks in deep, man. You're doing your thing.
Dude, I'm Chris Kunitz right now. I'm a riding shotgun with Crosby.
And I'm Pascal Dupuis. He's Crosby.
Yeah, he's Crosby.
Come on, Sid. Noodles is Sid.
There was some – the numbers I thought – like, I like those types of stuff. Like those – remember those – it was – you had to guess those words that were going around last year
and
on Twitter. Yeah, Wordle or whatever on Twitter. And you would have to guess the word. Like,
my wife still does Wordle every day. Can you believe that? I swear she's the only person in the world doing Wordle.
I remember like freakishly always hitting like 2 and 4 and like
you're a genius.
Getting
Noodles.
Lucky. No,
you're
a genius. It was just lucky. That's what I think. And I got lucky a little bit on this one. That's the way I feel. But
so listen. I'm impressed. I'm genuinely impressed for both you guys, for all three of us, and collectively for our show. You throw in a Grappler at a 138. You know, we need JP to do an IQ test, Joe from the Bridge, Al's brother. I think this may be the smartest show in entertainment.
Here's the thing. Al's brother, with all of his nonsense that he pulls and all that, I would love for him to be an 89 or something.
I know, exactly.
Because he sounds so smart on those NFL you know, predictions that he does.
I guarantee you he'll toss up something sub 100. Do it, Al. Go ahead, Al's brother. Do it.
We need Al's brother to take
it. It only takes 5 minutes. Get us your number before the end of the show.
All right. Well, people are asking because now everyone wants to do their own test. So maybe we'll post the link. My concern here is that this test is fraudulent, or the link is fraudulent, or the link
something's going to come out and says this is the worst test of all.
Yeah, right.
It just exposes dummies or something.
It could be.
By the way, did you hear about Crutch Guy from Dougie?
Yeah, well, yeah. I got to be honest. I'm struggling here because I sent him a text.
Yeah.
I said, after the McSorley hit 93, do you remember a crutch being thrown on the ice? We're talking about it on the show. And he wrote back, I don't remember that. I wrote back, okay, thanks. And then he wrote, who is this? And I'm like, that's not
that's
good.
That's,
here I am thinking I got a 133, and here's Doug Gilmore, you know, that's my idol. And it's like, I can't be following you anymore on text. But then obviously he followed up by saying, someone put me up to that. I knew you were going to text him.
As soon as you said you were texting him, I texted him first, and I said, when this guy texts you right back, who is this?
It was actually great. I'm like, I swear I've gone back and forth. Maybe he doesn't have me in the Rolodex. I got to stop texting Dougie. I can't do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was actually a great response. So, yeah, no, but he said he doesn't remember a crutch being thrown on the ice, which – actually makes it more incredible that someone with a broken leg was so angry that Gilmore got hit, loved Gilmore so much, they threw their crutch on the ice, and Dougie didn't even know that it happened.
Grappler's got a line on the guy. Grappler has claimed he talked to somebody that said Crutch Guy was in his 20s, and he works with Crutch Guy.
Well, if we can get this guy on, that's the interview.
Well, how are we going to verify that he actually is Crutch Guy? Does he have a pick in front of his house with crutches going to the Leaf game with his jersey on or something?
We got to figure
something. We need proof. We need proof.
We need some proof. We need some proof. All right, so
that's a very unique that's a pretty unique thing.
Yes, but it is something I guess you could fake. How could you ever corroborate what happened 30 years ago at the Gardens? You know, it's tough. You just, I don't know. We need to, it's either honor system like the IQ test, you know, Grappler's a smart man. He's got a 138. He can vet the interview before it actually gets on the air. We'll figure it out. But anyway, Cowboys up 14-13. So Giants, you know, it's a close game. It's a good game. Spread was, 10? I think the Cowboys were laying 10. That was a massive number. Doesn't seem likely the Cowboys cover, but anything's possible. And the Bills winning by 3 earlier today. The nightcap tonight, Vikings-Pats. Vikings only land 2.5. So we'll get back into that. And our best bets brought to you by Proline. The Leafs are playing in the afternoon tomorrow. The World Cup is continuing. Raptors back in action on the weekend. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca. Become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. And tune in to News Talk 1010's Gift of Giving for SickKids December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children. The NFL game today, the Bills, they survived, but, you know, it's a big win. And they're 8-3 now, and a late field goal is a great game, and it looks like the same thing's applying down in Dallas. Cowboys are up 14-13 on the Giants, 4 minutes left in the third quarter, and the nightcap tonight is Vikings at home against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So it could be a good one tonight. I'm expecting it will be. And tomorrow's going to be fun. You got Canada versus – or USA versus England tomorrow at 2 p.m.
That'll
and Leafs Wild
ruckus
tomorrow.
And pubs and stuff, won't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be wild tomorrow for sure. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Been on all your favorite teams in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I took them last night. I'm sticking with it today. Patriots plus 2.5 tonight. I'm on it. Kirk Cousins under the lights, primetime of primetime. Bill Belichick against Kirk Cousins and a rookie coach. I'm on the Pats. I'll take the points, plus 2.5. I like England tomorrow, though. I do. I think they're laying some juice, minus 200, but I think they went outright against the U.S. and under 2.5 goals in the Wales-Iran game. I like that, under 2.5. There's a lot of low-scoring games 0-0, 1-0, 2-0. It's kind of where I'm leaning here. Pay a little juice on that, minus 184, but I like the under 2.5 in the Wales-Iran game. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. So it's been a wild one. You know, the Leafs with an entertaining, fun win last night. They're back in action. A rare afternoon weekday game tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we'll be tracking that. The World Cup continues. The NBA will be rocking tomorrow, and a lot going on. And obviously, we were paying homage to the great Boris Salming passing away today. Yeah. And
that guy was a legend. I remember putting eyes on him playing in like the Hall of Fame game they have on the Sunday where Geno hosts the game. And I was in the locker room when that guy walked in, and he had like tight fitted jeans on, like skinny jeans. And he had these cool bracelets, and I just looked at him, and I said, "That guy's a legend, man."
Oh yeah.
At his age, to be cruising around looking that cool, not many guys can pull that off, and that guy's a legend.
Yeah, great. Absolute legend. Absolute legend. So obviously, we will definitely miss the great Boris Salming passing away earlier today. But it's you know, the IQ tests were revealed today. There was a lot going on. The grappler's a genius. Noodles is like spectacularly smart. And maybe we bring the IQ test back up yearly. No, maybe yearly.
We got to have to do it live because there's no way in hell the grappler got 138 and I got 112.
Okay, we'll do it live. There you go.
Let's do it live.
We'll do it live. Screw it. We'll do it live. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.